All right, well, good evening. I'm glad that you all are here to support me. But most importantly, you're here to get something from the Word. I hope this message will be a blessing to you and a reminder. Again, thank you for supporting me tonight. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, and we'll be looking at verses 24 through 28. In the scriptures, God, he used a lot of illustrations to get his point across, and he sometimes used the most small and insignificant things to teach us wisdom of daily living as well. And these verses right here, we're going to read about four animals. We're going to see the ant, the coney, the locust, and the one that we're going to focus on mainly is the spider. There's some people here that aren't really appreciative of spiders. I am one of them. I'm fascinated by them because how unique they are with the eight eyeballs and the eight legs and how they spin a web and everything. I like them at a safe distance, but when they're on me, you might want to clear the room because it's going to be like a law of destruction, all right? In this verse right here, in verse 28, let's read through the verses here, starting with 24, all right? Chapter 30, verse 24, says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands." Then the last verse, "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." Let's pray tonight before we continue. Our Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this blessing and opportunity to share the gospel and the scripture tonight, Lord. I just pray that you'll help me say the words that you want me to say. And again, thank you for this church. They've been such a blessing to me, Lord, and I hope I've been a blessing to them. Help me in the future, Lord, to make the right decisions and to be there, and help me to make the trying to not do it my way, but to do it your way, Lord. And help me find what I need to do when I get to college, Lord. Help me to find the open door and the ministry that that you want me to be in. And help me to stay in your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this sermon tonight is called Lesson from the Web. And like I said, this is not the web, but like Yahoo or Google or Firefox or anything like that. This is about the spider, all right? But first, we're going to go quickly over the three animals that are mentioned first in this passage. First, look at verse 25, all right? And it says, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." The ant, they give us wisdom of preparatory living, which means to prepare in advance. You notice that the verse says that the ants, they prepare their meat in the summer. They definitely don't do it in the wintertime because around here there's a lot of snow, meaning that the ants don't get around very well. So they prepare their meat. They gather up the food that they need for the winter during the summertime. And for me, spiritually, an idea comes to mind, and that's to prepare in the scriptures. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." For me, we need to be prepared in the scriptures, especially as a Christians, because as pastor likes to do, he likes to have people ask him questions and to help Christians that might have questions about certain topics or subjects about daily living or maybe just a simple biblical question, we need to be prepared as a Christian to answer whatever comes about. And that's why I believe that comes to mind when I think about the end, to prepare ahead, to keep studying, to study daily in the daily word of God. Second animal is the coney. Go back to Proverbs again, and we're going to look at verse 26. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. When I think of a coney, it's kind of like a marmot or like a rock chuck. There are critters that like to live in the rocks. And the coney, they give us the wisdom of proper positioning. And what comes to mind is spiritually, as a Christian, you have to ask yourself daily, where am I at? Am I positioned where I'm supposed to be? Am I in the will of God, or am I out of God's will? We definitely want to be in God's will. And here's a couple of verses that will encourage you to stay in God's will and to focus as a Christian, to stay focused on Him. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 58. And it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Then I look at chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. As a Christian, going through life, it's going to be challenging. You're going to go through hard times, and there are going to be times where you're going to be tempted whether to do it your way or God's way. And these verses, I hope, can encourage you that we have to stand strong in the faith and not to do it the easy way. Sometimes God might have an easy way, but sometimes He's going to test our faith. And He wants us to take that next step and see how our faith is strong, or if the faith is strong or if it's weak in Him. The third animal that I want to talk about is the locust. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. Now, the locusts, they give us wisdom of propelling in packs to fly together. And what makes me think of this is church congregation or church membership. Being together with other believers and striving for the greater cause. A great passage for this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verses 1 through 11, this is Paul talking with the Corinthian church, and he's explaining to them about everybody having different gifts. Now, some of these gifts, some people have different theories and stuff, like the speaking in tongues and such. I believe that speaking in tongues is different languages, being able to speak different languages. And I think some of them don't actually happen anymore, like healing people and doing certain miracles, because back then they didn't have the whole Bible. And so God used disciples and the apostles to do these miracles so that people have something to look to and like, how did you do that? How did you perform that miracle? And then they can give them the gospel how they can do that. So having different gifts, and then look at verse 12. You don't have to look at that. And chapter 12, verses 12 through 31, it talks about Paul's telling the Corinthian church about being a body. Everybody has a part, whether it's a finger or a toe, the nose, the mouth, whatever it is, everybody plays a part in the church, and every part is important. When you get to the point where body parts start getting jealous of another, like, oh, I wish I was an eye, wish I was a mouth, or wish I was a foot. If you had a church that was like a foot, well, your church before long is going to die because you don't have somebody speaking out like the mouth, or somebody who's the hand, who's actually doing actions and working and striving for the Lord. Every part is important, and everybody has to work together. They can't be separate. They have to work together. They got to strive together. The key verses that I wanted to look at in this chapter here is verses 18 through 20. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. So God has specifically put each member in their place, and that's where they're supposed to be, and that's the will of God. And if they're in God's will, it pleases him, as it says here, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, like I mentioned before, where were the body?" Meaning, how can a church work together and cooperate with each other when everybody is the same type or has the same gifts? Look at verse 20. "But now are they many members, but yet but one body." And as locusts, I think all of those grasshoppers, they're all different. Some are bigger, some are smaller. I'm not sure if they have like different positions or anything like that. But they are together. They work together, and they go from place to place. And as a church, that's what we should do, is to strive together, work together to serve the Lord. The best thing about it is locusts, they don't have a leader, like said in verse 27 back in Proverbs. But as a church, we have a leader, and that's Jesus Christ. We're supposed to follow him. He's the head of the church, and that's a whole lot better than being locusts. But that's what it makes me think about, is the church congregation. Now we're coming to the spider. Go back to Proverbs chapter 30. And you can let's look at verse 28, all right? It says, "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." The spider, it gives us the wisdom of productivity from within. "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." So under the spider, the first point is the spider is productive. His web comes from within. And some of you might not understand that, but I will show you in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Some of you might be wondering, what does that mean to be productive from within? Well, when you look in chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Meaning, you have to be saved. And, of course, by believing that, you have to understand that you're a sinner. And because you have committed sin, you lost that fellowship with God. But then God brought down his son to this world, and he gave up his life so that you and I can have fellowship with God again. Jesus Christ, he was beaten, and he bled and shed his blood for our sins, to wash away our sins. And he paid the price of sin so that all of us that believe in Jesus Christ, we can be connected with God again and have that fellowship with him. And in the Bible, it says that when you receive Christ, he sends a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, as you're going through life as a Christian, the Holy Ghost encourages you. While you're in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit might show you something that you might need to work on, like a bad habit or something like that. Or encourages you to reach out to somebody that might not be saved. Give them a tract or tell them the gospel. As a Christian, as you saw in 1 John 3:9, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit starts to work with you. If you're willing and in God's will, the Holy Spirit, you start to bear fruit through the Holy Spirit. And we can see that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 22 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variousness, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that ye which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, reading that right there, that's kind of discouraging, because if we're all honest, I'm sure that all of us have done at least one of these things in these verses here. But as a Christian, we can continue on looking at verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now we can look at these verses, and as a Christians, maybe we're like, I can see some of these fruits that I'm doing. Or we can be Christians and be like, well, there's probably some of these I can still work on and improve on. And that's, of course, the Holy Spirit probably tap you on the shoulder. It's like, you need to maybe work on this a little bit more. All right. So the spider is productive from within. And if we're productive, as the spider makes its web, it shows, as a Christian, how productive we are with the fruits of the Spirit. Second point is, the spider is a perseverer. Knock down his web, and he rebuilds it. I work out at the Bluebell Stables, and I do trail rides. I'm a guide. And so I'm on a horse, and I'm going through trees and stuff like that. And I'm sure some of you may be going hiking or something like that. There are times you run into some spider webs that might be stranded across the tree, you know. I remember there's been a couple times I'll be riding a horse, and I'm walking, and all of a sudden I just feel something on my face, you know. I can't see it. I'm like, oh, it's a spider web, so I'll, like, wipe it off my face and keep going on my merry way. Well, I'll go through that path a couple more times, no spider web. But like within a week or so, I'll go down that path again. And guess what? There's a spider web right there again. So I have to wipe my face again. A spider, it's a persevere. It continues, and he's like, well, if my web gets knocked down, I might as well just build it back up. I need to have food. And so knock down his web, and he rebuilds it. Look at James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12 said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Sorry. And so James here is saying, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. And who actually, even though this temptation might, actually he might struggle through this temptation, if he is a persevere and he strives and he keeps pushing forward, and when he gets through the temptation, it says that he receives the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. As the Lord has told his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. And there's a lot of commandments that we have to follow. And, of course, one of the biggest ones is go preach the gospel to the world. And then, of course, there's many others. If you're saved, you need to be baptized. And then if you're baptized, if you're not a church member, get yourself in a church, one that actually preaches the truth. All right. Another passage is Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, 9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As the spider, he's a persevere. When bad weather comes and knocks that web, he rebuilds it. Sometimes as us Christians, we might have trials and tribulations come, and Satan might come over and just knock us down. Well, as a Christian, we need to stand up, get back on our feet again, and realize that it's not over yet, and God's here with us to help us during that time. For example, would be Joseph. Joseph, he's like one of my favorite Bible characters, and a lot of people really like Joseph. I mean, his brothers sold him into slavery, trying to get rid of him, and they thought they would never see him again. He gets hired on to serve Potiphar, and then he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and of course, Joseph fled. He ran away, and he said, I can't do no such thing, especially against my God. Now, of course, Potiphar's wife didn't like that, so she rats on him, and he's thrown in prison, so he's back down to the bottom again. But he, again, is a blessing in prison. He follows the rules. He does all the jobs that he's told to do, and then he's actually one of the important head persons in the prison. Well, of course, after so many years, Pharaoh has a dream, and then Joseph interprets it, and then he becomes second in command. And during this whole time, Joseph, you don't see in the Bible that Joseph ever whined or complained or finally said, I give up. I can't do this no more. It's just too hard. Life is just too hard. If it was me, I probably would sadly probably be the one who would give up. Joseph, though, he knew that God meant this for a reason. As the Bible says, all things work together for good to those who love God, even to them who are called according to his purpose. And even Joseph later, after he met up with his brothers again, he's like, you might meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And it's true. God used Joseph to save pretty much the known world back then and saved him from that large famine that came through. So the spider is productive. The spider is a perseverer. The next one, the third point, is the spider is powerful. He destroys his enemies with his mouth. And it's true. Once a fly or a bug gets caught in the web, of course the spider comes and bites them, injecting poison into them, which knocks the bug unconscious. As Christians, we have an enemy, and that's one. And the main one is the devil, Satan. He's out here. He does not like humans, first of all, because we're made in the image of God. He really doesn't like Christians because he knows he can't get a hold of us and he can't take us to hell. We're protected by God through Jesus Christ. And so Satan, he knows that he can't take Christians with him. Instead, he tries to destroy our lives through sending temptations or maybe sending trials to us. But in James 4:7, go ahead and you can turn there. In James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So as Christians, we need to submit ourselves to God. Be in God's will. Do what God wants us to do. And most importantly, we want to be in the scriptures, too. Because Jesus gives us a perfect example of what we should do when the devil comes and tries to tempt us. And that's in Matthew 4. So if you can quickly turn to Matthew chapter 4. We won't read the whole chapter. And in fact, I'll just probably just give you an idea what happens here. In Matthew 4, it's Satan. Jesus just got baptized. And after his baptism, he went out to the desert. And he was out there for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And, of course, at this time, he never ate anything. So he was hungry. So, of course, the tempter comes, which is the devil and Satan. He's like, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And that's in verse 3. Look at verse 4. And this is Jesus. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you can see in verse 4, what did Jesus do? He fought the devil back with scriptures. He said, it is written. And what he meant by that is that it's in the Bible. It's God's word. And he's like, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, that stumped the devil. And so, verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him up on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. All right, so look at here. The devil seems like he's using some scripture too. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy feet against the stone. So the devil here, he knows the Bible too, all right? He knows scripture, but he twists it, he changes it to make it the way that it entices Christians or deceives Christians. And I think the devil has done a really good job, especially in today's age, because there's like, I don't know, I lost track of how many other versions of the Bible there are. And if you look at these other different versions, there's verses that are missing, very like important key verses are missing. And some verses say like totally just 180 degrees changes the whole meaning of the verse. And people that get these different versions and stuff, they look at all these different versions that are all different, so everybody that has these versions gets confused, which before long just pushes those people away altogether, and which is sad. I think the KJV is the number one Bible, and I believe it's God's word. Through all the stories and the history of this Bible and all the people that had to go through and sacrifice themselves so that we can have this book right here, I believe that this is God's word right here. So Jesus, he uses the scriptures against the devil. And as a Christian, we should do the same too. Whenever we're tempted, and it's usually the devil knows our weaknesses, and so he always gets behind the line, and he tries to attack us from the rear where our weakness is. We should always turn around and face that temptation with scriptures. And the more we're in the scriptures, and the more we're close to God, the Holy Spirit's there to encourage us, and before long we'll be able to stand against that temptation and grow stronger as a Christian. So the spider is productive, the spider is a perseverer, the spider is powerful. All right, the next point is the spider is a provider. He provides his own food. And what makes me think of that is there's a passage here, or actually a verse, John 6:35. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. John 6:35, and it says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I believe that Jesus was saying, if you're not saved, I have the bread of life, and I have the water that will make you never thirst again. I am what you need spiritually. But I also think as a Christian, we can look at this as our daily Bible reading, reading the scriptures daily, being in God's word, and not just to read it as a routine either, but to be meditating on it. If there's it might not have to be like a large passage or anything. If it's just a simple verse that pops, that kind of sticks out, it's probably a good idea to memorize that verse. And not just to have it in your head, but have it in your heart too. To be a provider, you want to stay strong and healthy. And by doing that, of course, you have to have food. And that's the daily bread right here, the Word of God. So the spider is a provider. Next point, the spider is perceptive. He senses the enemy. The spider is perceptive. He senses the enemy. Can you please turn to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians 6, chapter 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. As a Christian, we need to realize it's not about the here and now, and it's not about what we see. There's a spiritual warfare that's going on, and we can't see it. And sometimes I believe some of the trials and temptations that we have, I think is sometimes our enemy that's trying to fight against us. And that's why that's when we use the scriptures. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." When we have like people fight against us, we shouldn't be fighting against the people, because the main enemy is using those people to fight against us, and that's the devil. And he, as the scripture says, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy us. He does not like us, and he definitely does not love God, and he hates God, so he hates us as Christians because we are his children. And so he's going to do whatever it takes to destroy the Christian. So we need to be sober, need to be vigilant. We need to be alert at whatever comes at us, whether it's a simple temptation or some situation, or maybe life throws a curveball at you. Whatever it is, we need to be alert. We need to keep our senses awake, so when we can spot the enemy, we can be prepared to fight back. All right. So the spider is productive. The spider is a perseverer. The spider is powerful. The spider is a provider. The spider is perceptive. Next point: the spider is purposeful. The spider is purposeful. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And what this point means is, as a spider, even though spiders, I'm not a huge fan of spiders, and a lot of people would agree with me, they're a very special animal. I mean, they're like the best pest control tool that's around the world. If we did not have spiders, this whole world would be full of flies and mosquitoes and everything else you can think of. So thumbs up to the spider for that. As a Christian, though, as the spider, he gets rid of flies. He cleans up. As a Christian, look at verse 1, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses," right here, this is what I want you to see, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And what this verse is saying is, we have baggage, especially if you're someone who got saved at an older age, you have luggage, you have baggage, you got maybe some bad habits that you've had throughout your life. Or maybe it's a Christian who's been a Christian for so long, there's just a normal routine. Before long, they'll start getting into some sinful habits, and you're carrying all of this baggage and luggage and weights. And as a runner, you don't want to have weight. You want to be light so you can move and press towards the mark. This verse says we need to lay aside the weight. And as the weights, those are the sins that we have. We need to put aside those habits that we have, those sinful habits, and focus on the mark, which is towards Jesus Christ. And we got to push and keep striving. And if we have more weights, we need to let them go. Even though it might be, since it's a habit, it might be something that we don't want to get rid of. We have to rely and be willing to give up what we enjoy in our fleshly nature and strive to be more like Christ and be spiritual and keep striving towards that mark. So the spider is purposeful. And then the last point, the spider is a pursuer. The spider is a pursuer. He ends up in the king's palaces. What's really unique about the spider is not only does it make a web, and the web is actually inside of it, and how it's how he ends up making a unique spider web. Every spider web is different. It has a certain design, and before long, if everything is nice and settled and everything is done, you can sometimes see this beautiful spider web, and sometimes you'll see the dew on it and sparkling and everything. And that's the spider's palace. After all of the work that it's gone through, providing food, having to rebuild the web, hiding from the enemy that might destroy the web, and you have to come back and rebuild it, when it's all said and done, the spider has done its job, and the spider web is made. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 24. And this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. And again, like in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it's very similar. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. As a runner, you have a goal, and sometimes it's usually just to beat your personal, your personal high score. I never understood runners, but that's what they do. I always ask them, why are you running? I'm just running. Why? So I can beat my personal score. Okay, all right, that's fine. You do what you do, and I'll just play football. At least you have something about football that you have a goal in football. But as a runner, though, you have to think as a runner. Back then, they actually had a prize. They call it now the Olympics, which are different, various sports where the top athletes around the world play against each other for medals and for trophies. As a Christian, we're running a race in our life, and we have a prize. Jesus has rewards for all of us, and Jesus has a different course for all of us to do. And he wants us to strive and keep pushing and pursue that goal to be in God's will, and so that when we actually finish the race, which is when we either die or when Jesus comes back to receive us up, if we did what the Lord wanted us to do, at the end, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he's going to reward us for all the works that we've done for him. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, and this is Paul talking to the Philippian church now, and that, at this point, he's in prison, and he's already had some extremely crazy events, being stoned, being shipwrecked, and all these other events. Look at this. If I was Paul at this point, I probably would considered to retire or just to give up for the cause, because, I mean, he went through a lot. Yes, Paul, before he got turned to being a Christian, he persecuted the Christian. He chased them, he threw them in prison, and he even put them to death. But Paul here, look at how determined he is. He is a great example of a pursuer. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right here, he's telling the Philippians, it might be hard along the way, but I'm still pressing towards the mark. I'm still striving. I'm still going. No matter what happens or what the cost may be, I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And lastly, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And here's another familiar verse. I learned this verse in Vacation Bible School. It's one of my favorite verses. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And here is an example of being a soldier. And there's a few men here who are soldiers, and they can tell you that there are things that they could not worry about. They had a job to do, they had a duty to do, and that was to be a soldier. They were there to protect their people and the country that they served for, and they couldn't get entangled and bothered by the affairs outside of their job and their duty. And as a Christian, we should do the same thing. It's not about what's here and now. As a Christian, we should think about what's eternal. And that's the most important thing. Our main job is to spread the gospel to the lost so that they, not only as us being Christians, spend eternity with God, but that others may spend eternity with them as well. As Christians, all of us are striving to get to the king's palace. Jesus said to the disciples, but he also told us, that he went to heaven to prepare a place for us. But he doesn't just want us to be up there. He wants all of us to be up here. So strive to spread the gospel. And as a spider, in another way about the web, if you are doing these things about being purposeful, being a pursuer, and all these other things, that web that you're going to make, it's sticky. In other words, if you are a spider that spins its web, it's going to be contagious. People are going to notice it, and you're going to, in a way, catch them. And they're going at the end, they'll probably walk up to you like, why are you like this? Why do you act like this? And how did you deal, as Pastor said this morning, how can you endure this tribulation that you're going through, or this trial that you're going through? Why? Well, because I just follow the scriptures, and I love God, and I believe what Jesus did for me is true. And it'll be a great way to reach out to them and give them the gospel. So that's all I have for tonight, and we can pray, and then Pastor can come up. Let's pray.